Well, I guess we could say we've all done Christmas. For some people, it's over, put away, done for next year. For some, maybe it's finally quiet. For some, it's sad to think how fast it came and went. For some, it's time to kind of sort through the stuff we got, maybe return or exchange or use the stuff that we got. But I think it's true, we all got something for Christmas. Maybe it was something tangible, something that we've been waiting for or wanting. Maybe it wasn't something tangible, but maybe it was something that we got by way of an experience. We've all got something. Anyone get extra weight for Christmas? Got a little extra weight for Christmas. I think it's true, today is more quiet than it was a week ago. Maybe it's because we're still maybe haven't woken up from being up late last night, but maybe it's just the nature of the day, too. It's different. Christmas Day has come and gone, but the beautiful thing is today's the beginning of a new year, a new day. And just as we reflect on maybe what we received for Christmas, we reflect on the great gift we received in Jesus. Because that's the gift we can truly take with us into not just 2023, but whatever new time we are in. If you go back and you kind of scan back over the scripture lessons for today, there's a theme, I mean, a beautiful word that comes from those. In Isaiah 63, we see that God delivers his people. He delivers them from bondage. He leads people into freedom. In Galatians 4, we see that God gives his people a new identity. He puts a new name on them. He adopts people into his family. In Matthew chapter 2, we see that in the midst of all the stuff going on, God still keeps his promises and works through what he said he would do. You put all these things together, we say, you know, what an amazing gift. What an amazing gift we have in God. One of the scriptures that were not read for today is a psalm for the day, and it's Psalm 111. It's a beautiful word from God, and it kind of summarizes all the other ones. I'm going to read Psalm 11. It's not long, but I want to read it as kind of the connecting point of all these today. The psalmist writes, "Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart, in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise." It begins and it ends with praise for God and his works and his word. They go together. God made a covenant promise, and he carried out that promise in Israel's history. What God says in his word, he will always put into action. And what God does is always based on what he said in his word. And God's works include his works of creation and preservation, and also his works of redemption. As creator, the Lord provided his people with all that they needed for life, and particularly his people with food. As a redeemer, he brought them out of Egypt into a land that he had promised. And God wants Israel to remember and ponder these works. And it seems like when you read, particularly in the Old Testament, over and over and over, we hear those words, "Do not forget. Don't forget who I am. Don't forget what I have done. Because he knows the benefit of what will happen if you don't forget and you remember. And the same for us, because we too are to remember and ponder God's good works for us. In Psalm 11, it begins again with a call to praise the Lord and to acknowledge the works of God. Great are the works of the Lord, they are pondered by all who delight in them. That word ponder, it came up last week in that message where we were talking about Mary. She pondered the things in her heart that she, as she experienced the birth of her son, Jesus. But to ponder means to weigh mentally, to think deeply about, to consider carefully, or the word ruminate, to kind of let that matter kind of go over and over and over in your mind, in your thinking, to sit, think, ponder. There's some things in life we just maybe just don't know or understand until or unless we just take the time to reflect and ponder. It just doesn't click in. So maybe what a great thing we could desire for the year. That idea of pondering. Just taking the time to be still and quiet. That word shows up in a number of different passages in Scripture. In Psalm 64, it says, all people will fear. They will proclaim the works of God and ponder what he has done. In Ecclesiastes, not only was the teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. It says, he pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. It was as he pondered, as he reflected, as he thought, that he was able to have the wisdom to be able to impart to his disciples. And again, Mary, treasuring up all these things, pondering them in her heart. If you go back and you were to reread Psalm 111, I don't know if the reality of that could really happen unless there had been some pondering taking place. Those things just don't come flying out unless there's been some serious reflection and pondering. Now God tells us, he says, crave the pure spiritual milk of his word so that we can grow in our faith and to hold on to his truth. And again, I don't know how easy that happens in our lives today. Just if you just think of the words silence, solitude, quiet, my guess is for most of us that just doesn't happen very easily. And it just seems like it's a reflex. I know for myself it's literally a reflex. I get in the car and the first thing I do, I've got to make sure there's something on the radio. I come home from some place or do something, I got to make sure that something is going on around me. It just happens. Maybe you're the same way. And instead of silence, we look for something to do. Got to listen to something, I got to watch something, I got to catch up on something, whatever it is. But there's a result to what happens when that's all that's coming in around us. I'm wrapping up a really good book. It's called Sacred Rhythms by Ruth Barton. And in her particular chapter on solitude, she makes this statement, and I think it's so true for us. She says, I am noticing that the more I fill my life with the convenience of technology, the emptier I become in the places of my deepest longing. She says, because we are experiencing less meaningful human and divine connection, we are emptier relationally. And we try harder and harder to fill that loneliness with even more noise and stimulation. And then, solitude is an opportunity to interrupt this cycle by turning off the noise and stimulation of our lives so that we can hear our loneliness and our longing calling us deeper into the only relationship that can satisfy our longings. We're missing something. we're missing something. And I think she says it's interesting, the more she tries to do something, the more empty she feels. I think it's true. It can happen. Because treasure, ponder, they're not words that we typically just have in our, you know, our life vocabulary. But what if? What if we intentionally found times or ways to just be quiet and ponder? What could we ponder? Well, one of the examples given to us today in the scriptures is, how about thinking about the kindnesses of the Lord? This God who doesn't abandon us, who doesn't leave us, who constantly wants to be with us as Emmanuel, God with us, who became one of us. Think about what he did for us. Because God's word tells us what he has done. And then also shows us how we can respond to that. And by believing his promises. Because he shows himself over and over to be dependable, someone that we can put our faith and trust in. And the reality is for all of us is there can be times of discouragement, times of little faith, things going on around us. And then words like written here for Psalm 111, they were written to encourage and remind people of the nature of God's works throughout history for the benefit of his people. And if we see over and over and over and hear of things that have happened and things that are happening, it reminds us, oh yeah, this is who God is. We look at the Old Testament lesson for today, and the times of Isaiah, they were kind of ugly and bad times. And this Isaiah 63 part is part of a prayer for deliverance. And all of these promises were in the future, but in order to kind of look what was going on in the future and what to long for, they had to go back and reflect what God had already done. The reality of what they were going through, it wasn't glorious, it wasn't joyful or triumphant. Disregard for God and his will were completely kind of not the norm. When you look at their relationships, there was greed, envy, pride, rage, a part of what was going on in interaction of the people. But God speaks a word of hope through Isaiah and talked about God's faithfulness. And talked about the kindnesses of God and how he was enacted to his people. He says, ponder this, think about it, because this is the God who delivered you from Egypt. He fed you in the wilderness. He gave you a land of your own. He gave you victory when there was no hope of victory. He protected you. And also, he was touched by their affliction, and he was with them in special ways. He shared their distress, he shared their pain, and he brought redemption, both to them and he brought redemption to us. If we take the time to ponder and think the steps that we've had through life and where we're at, what we've gone through, maybe too we can find those times, oh yeah, but look at where God showed up and how he showed up and what he did. And the only way you can know that is if you take the time to ponder and to think. And as that prayer goes, Isaiah said, I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Again, what a great thing that we can do. Maybe say, hey, I want to take more time pondering this year. Lord, help me to seek your kindnesses and what you have done. See, every one of us, we all have stories. Every one of us is different. But we can all point to times in our life where God was faithful in different ways that reflected his kindness. And then we learned, we saw and experienced him. Good times, bad times, ugly times. One of the world's most popular hymns, we all know it, is Amazing Grace. And it has been sung it's so many different kinds of contexts in people's lives. Times of grief, despair, guilt, shame, memorial services, recognitions. That hymn is one of the most popular hymns ever written. Fun fact, the lyrics of Amazing Grace were written for a sermon delivered by Pastor John Newton on this day, January 1st, 1773. 250 years ago, today was the very first day the words of that song were shared. John Newman was a former sea captain of a slave ship. And he, as he reflected and he pondered, he saw himself as a wretch that God's love and mercy had reached out to. God's amazing grace found a place in his heart. And when on that slave ship one time and there's a violent storm came up, he prayed and sought God's favor. And he prayed for God's grace, and he described it as the hour I first believed. The words of the song are the words of his testimony of his life and God's work in him. If you were to go through the stanzas, the verses of Amazing Grace, every phrase, every thought is his story of what he'd experienced, where he had been and what God had done and did an amazing work in his life as he heard that amazing news. He pondered. So we could make the word of the day ponder. All the readings that came for today, they came from hearts of people of God that pondered, that thought, that were reflecting on what God had done in their lives. We're not here today so that we can ponder the new sweater that we got or the new electronic gadget we got at Christmas. We don't ponder about that. We may enjoy it, but it's not something we ponder. We are to here reflect on and ponder the great gift we got, and that's a Savior, and what it means to have that as our gift. So this year, 2023, can be a year for amazing news. Amazing news that came to us, that we've seen at work in our own lives, creating a unique story of God's faithfulness. Amazing news that can be shared and passed on. So as I look out into the year 2023, as a family of believers here, as a family of God, as a church here at Trinity, as we do this, as we gather for worship, as we meet in Bible studies, as we serve with others, as we eat with friends, as we pray for others, as we share our lives and loving works with others this year, the amazing news of what God has done for us and is doing will both be the motivator and the action that's going to bless. Yeah, we'll be blessed. But other people are going to be blessed. Something to ponder, what we have received truly and what we can take forward, not just again, as I said, into this particular new year, but every day, every week, every year of our life. It's a gift that goes with us. It is always there. And it's amazing news to be lived and shared. So Merry Christmas, happy and blessed New Year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are, what you have done. You have been so faithful over time to just express your love, your mercy, your grace. God, I just pray